This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I want to talk about lifestyle of worship. This is part three, lifestyle of worship. And that's what we really want. We don't want just experiences in God's presence, but we want to have a lifestyle of being in his presence so that when we walk out of this place, that we're carrying his presence with us and we're doing things in our life that perpetuates worship and causes worship to be a lifestyle for us, not just a 1-2 time experience, once a week, twice a week experience, but we want to have it as a lifestyle. So that's what we've really been discussing. 1 Chronicles 13:3 is where we're going to go. If you'll go there with me in your Bibles, your digital Bibles, your applications, 1 Chronicles 13:3. As you're going there, if you miss part one or part two, you can catch it on the Hope United podcast. You know, you can fill yourself up. I love how Jessica's always talking about it and how some of our members are talking about it. You can grab those sermons. You can grab the ones you missed. You can re-listen to the ones that you liked them all, of course, but the ones that you liked especially good, you can listen to them multiple times. Amen. And you can share them with friends. 1 Chronicles 13:3. And this is the story when David, King David, brings the ark to the city of Jerusalem. And in verse 3, it says, David is talking. He says, "It's time to bring back the ark of our God, for we neglected it during the reign of Saul." And the whole assembly agreed to this, for the people could see it was the right thing to do. So David summoned all Israel from the Shihor Brook of Egypt in the south all the way to the town of Lebo Hamath in the north to join in bringing the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. When David and all Israel went to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord who is enthroned between the cherubim, they placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house. Uzzah, and this looks like Ohio, I get stuck on this for whatever reason. I see Ohio. Uzziah and Ohio, we're just going to go with that this morning. We're guiding the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. I love this imagery when it says they were celebrating God with all their might. And since we're talking about worship, I kind of wanted to get that image in our head and think about, you know, what would that look like if we worshiped God with all our might? You see, they were wanting to have closer fellowship with God. So they said, let's bring the ark to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the capital city. So we want God to be the center of everything we're doing. So let's bring the ark. We want the blessing to be on the whole nation. Let's get the ark back into the capital city. We want to have closer fellowship with God. And so everybody is excited about this. People are cheering. People are dancing. People are singing and shouting because of God. And it says they're celebrating with all their might. Look at somebody and say, all. Now, I looked at the Greek and the Hebrew of this. Do you know what the word all means? It means all. Yeah, that's it. You guys guessed it. You guys are so astute. So when I thought about this, I thought about those football players when they paint their faces and their chest, you know, the color of the team, and they're yelling and they're screaming till they're hoarse. And you know those guys, when they go home, they just pass out on the couch because they worked so hard. But I thought, what if we worshiped God with that type of intensity? What if we worship God with all our might? And I really think that's what worship is supposed to look like. And that's what worship could look like if we would kind of catch the vision for being excited like David and the people of God were in this moment. So just put a pin in that. We're going to pause that story for a second. And I want to talk about music. How many people here love music? All right. These are my people. Amen. You can tell I like music, okay? Because when we get going, we're going to go there. But for me, I found there's a soundtrack for your life. There's a soundtrack that we got going on in the background of our life. You know, when I come on to church on Sunday, I got a song to sing to the Lord. I got a song to encourage the people of God. But I also got a song on Monday. When I'm just relaxing and reflecting and thinking about how good God was the previous week, I'm thinking, you know, I've got a song of thanksgiving. And then when I get to Tuesday and I'm doing busy work, I got all kind of work and I'm trying to be productive, I got a song for that. And when I'm up, when I'm happy, I have a song for that moment. And when I'm going through some difficulties, amen, I got a song for that. Now, I've found there is songs that we have playing in the background of our life. And even for whole seasons of our life, we have songs. And even for our life, we have kind of a song or a set playlist for our life. And so I really want to talk about that. And the title of this message is, What's Your Song? What's your song? And I was really thinking about what type of things are kind of like that guiding song that's playing in the background of our life. Because we're really wired for music. Not just the Bible says this, but they're finding this as they're doing research. Dr. Alice Jones says, physiology comes into play with music. Things happen when we like the sounds that we're hearing. Our eyes dilate, our pulse changes, our body releases dopamine. We have a physiological reaction to the music that's involuntary. So music affects us on a physiological level. It affects us on a spiritual level. It affects us on an emotional level. How many know that song that when you hear it, it reminds you of growing up? You hear that song, it reminds you of high school, or it reminds you of falling in love. Amen. We have songs that really speak to us, and music can affect us in powerful ways. So what is the song that's playing in the background of your life? What is it? What is it for this season that's playing in the back of your life? What's the playlist for your life? Growing up as a pastor's kid, I was full of questions. I like to ask questions. I want to know why we're doing what we're doing. Okay, that's great. We're doing communion. Why are we doing communion? We're singing in church. Why are we singing in church? We're singing songs about God. Why do we need to sing songs about God? And I think, you know, that's kind of a question that we ask. And you know, it's important to remember, you know, we talked part one about a lifestyle of worship. We got to worship God in spirit and in truth. We have to have a knowledge and an understanding of what we're doing, not just a spirit to feel and discern and celebrate it in that way. But we want to celebrate him with understanding why we're worshiping. So why do we sing in church? Why do we sing songs about God? I want to give you 12 reasons why. And this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's just, as I was just reflecting and reading the Psalms, I believe if David and some of the other psalmists were here, this is 12 reasons, 12 of the reasons they would give you. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready. So the first reason we sing about God that I'm going to give you today is it gives us joy. It gives us joy. Psalm 5:11 says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyfully praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name will be filled with joy. So there's this interaction that happens in God's presence. When we sing songs about him, he fills us with his joy. And the more he fills us with his joy, it makes us want to what? Sing about him. So why do we sing about God? Well, one reason is he fills us with joy. We want to have that joy because let me tell you, in life, we go through some tough things. We go through some difficulties. Sometimes we're battling depression. And if we can just fight through enough to open our mouth and begin to worship and sing a song, God can fill us with a supernatural joy. I'm not talking about happiness that fades away. But God can fill us with a joy that's beyond what other people understand. And even sometimes what we understand, we think I should be grieving right now. but I'm feeling the joy of the Lord and it's giving me strength. So why do we sing? Number two, because it's a testimony. I love this. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord." So when I sing, it's a testimony to other people around me. When I am singing about God and when I worship, it causes other people to put their trust in God. Now my song, it might not touch this person or that person, but there's somebody that my song is going to touch, and it's going to be a testimony to them in their life and what they're going through. And they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to give God a chance. I'm going to decide to put my trust in him. I'm going to decide to give my life to Christ because that song, something spoke to me in that song. And can I tell you, when you open your mouth, something in your song is going to speak to somebody. It may not speak to everybody, but it's going to speak to somebody, and it's going to be a testimony to them. So why do we sing? Because it's a testimony of God's goodness. Number three, why do we sing to God? It's how we show thankfulness. Psalm 30:12 says, "That I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." So part of when we sing, it's thanksgiving. Some songs that we sing, it's about, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And I just want to enter your courts. I want to be drawn a little bit closer by singing, because that when I give a thankful song, I draw close in proximity to you. So we sing because we're thankful. Number four, we sing because it increases our faith. Look at somebody say, it increases my faith. I love this. Psalm 57:7 says, "My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing of your praises." And this is great because it's one of those perpetual things. The more I sing, the more he increases my faith. And the more increases my faith, the more I want to sing. And then the more I sing, the more it increases my faith. So as I spend time in worship, my faith keeps rising. And I say, God can do anything. The more I sing, the more I have a lifestyle of worship and I open my mouth and I sing, my faith grows. Look at somebody and say, grow your faith. Number five, why do we sing? Because he is our helper. I love this because we have small things, we have big things, we have medium-sized things that we go through in our life. Maybe it's a test, maybe it's an interview that we're going through, and we're saying, God, I just need a little help. And God comes alongside of us and he partners with us. He's a helper in a time of need. This is what it says, Psalm 63:7. "Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings." I could probably branch that out and say, I could sing because he's my protection. But I sing because he's my helper. He helps me. And the more that we sing about God, we invite his help into our life. Ooh, isn't that a good reason to sing about God? When I sing about God, I invite his help. Because I know I can't do it on my own. The things that God has given me to do, I can't do it by myself. So I need to continue to open up my mouth and sing, have a lifestyle of worship, because I need to keep inviting him in to help me do, so I can be successful, so I can be fruitful in what God has called me to do. Why do we sing? Because it blesses God. Number six, because it blesses God. Psalm 66:8, "Let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises." I just thought about as parents, when your kid comes home and they've made good grades, it blesses you, right? That kind of, that really, you're happy about it, right? It's a blessing to you. When they behave in public in front of other people and make you look good, it blesses you. When we sing songs about God, to God, it blesses him. Like a proud parent, like a heavenly father that sits back and just smiles. Why do we sing to God? Number seven, Because he saved us. Now, here's a big one. Because he saved us. Psalm 71:23 says, I will shout for joy and sing your praises, for you have ransomed me. I love that word ransom, because it speaks to the depth and magnitude that Jesus went to buy us back, to purchase our salvation, to die a brutal death on a cross. He ransomed us. So when I sing, when I worship, part of why I'm singing is because he saved me. He saved me. That's a good reason. Look at someone and say, that's a pretty good reason. Number 8, why do we sing? Because we can live in his house. Psalm 88:4, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. I think sometimes we take for granted the fact that he has given us the ability to be called heirs, sons and daughters, children of God, and to be in his house. One of the reasons I sing is because, man, I'm excited to be called a son of God, a child of God. Anybody excited for that? So when I open my mouth at church and I'm singing really hard, you know why? Because I'm able to be in his house, not just in this physical house, but in his household as a son, as a daughter, as a child of God. Why do we sing? Because of his love. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. I love it. I love it. He says, I will sing of what kind of love? His unfailing. I'm not just singing about any kind of love. I'm singing about the unfailing love of God. Paul said it like this, love never fails. And John said it like this, God is love. So I understand that God, who is love, cannot fail. His love is unfailing. So when I open my mouth, I'm opening my mouth to praise a God whose love is unfailing. He could have given up on me. He could have given up on you. He could have given up on us, but his love is unfailing. I love it. Why do we sing? 10, it's a good thing to do. Look at somebody and say, it's a good thing to do. You're laughing, but that's what the Bible says, actually, right here. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. So there's a lot of things you could do with your mouth. You could run your mouth off. You could gossip about people. You could sing some negative songs that bring some negative things on your life. Or you could do a good thing by opening up your mouth and singing about God. It's a good thing to sing about God. It's a productive thing to sing about God. It's a fruitful thing to sing about God. We're doing something with our voice and with our song that brings something positive into our life. Positive change. It's a good thing to do. 11, why do we sing about God? Because he is just. Psalm 101 verse 1, I will sing of your love and justice. I love this because it speaks to both dynamics of God. Two of the main dynamics of God. His love, he's talking about his mercy, and his justice also. We lift up our voice and praise God because of his justice. I celebrate God because he is the fair, just judge that's sitting on the throne, and he doesn't let wicked people run around and just harm godly people. No, he's just. So I open up my mouth and I praise God because he's just. Number 12, last reason I'm gonna give you today. Why? There's a lot of things that could be said. Why do we sing about God? Because we are confident in him. Psalm 108, 1, my heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. Again, another thing that as we sing praises, he makes us confident again. Because a lot of times we go through difficulties when we start doubting ourselves, start doubting our future, start doubting our ability. We start doubting our identity. We start doubting if God is really seeing us or hearing us or going to move on our behalf. But the more we open up our mouth and sing and worship, guess what? He gives us confidence. And then all of a sudden we can stick out our chest and know who we are in God. I'm a child of God. He restored my confidence as I sung about him and I praised his name. He restored my confidence in who I am, in who he is to me, in whose I am. My confidence grows as I sing about him. And we're not the only people that should be singing. Not the only ones that should sing. Nature, it says, should sing. Psalm 96:12 says, let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. Psalm 98:8 says, let the rivers clap their hands with glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy. And the world, it says, even the world needs to sing too. Psalm 98:4 says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Or maybe you like it like this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. So this is what Jesus said in Luke 19:38. And this just rocked my world. He was trying to teach people about praise and worship and singing. When he was confronted with a question by the Pharisees. And he said, if my people don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. And when I was just spending some time with God this week, he was showing me that when we hold back our praise, there's an imbalance in nature. There's an imbalance in the world when we hold back our praise. When people, we were designed to praise God. We were designed to open up our mouth and honor God. Amen. So there's actually an imbalance in the world when we don't praise him. And actually, I'm going to go as far to say some of the things that we're seeing, how nature sometimes cuts up and there's storms and there's natural catastrophes. A lot of times people try to pin that on God. It's not on God. It's nature at an imbalance because the praise is not being lifted up. And maybe you're saying that's a huge statement to say, well, there's chaos in the world because we're not lifting up our voice and praising God. But I want to say it's absolutely a fact. If we could all come together, if people could come together and agree, let's sing about God's greatness and start worshiping him, there would be such a shift in our world, such a shift in humanity and the way we see each other and the way we act and treat one another, because true worship invites true love. True love invites true unity. And if people really understood the power of praise, praising God, what it can do. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says it like this. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive sin and I will heal their land. Can I tell you that some of your worship translates into prayer in heaven? Some songs that we sing are prayers set to music. And if my people will get together and call on my name, whether it be in prayer or whether it be a worship song that we're lifting up, what happens is God begins to heal the land. God begins to heal the region. And the more of us begin to get together and call upon the name of the Lord and sing his praise and open up our voice and begin to worship him, guess what? He begins to pour out a portion of blessing upon us that begins to heal our land. We begin to see the manifestation of God's blessing. Imagine the more people upon the earth that begin to call upon the name of the Lord, lift up and sing praise to him. It pours out, God will pour out, he says in his word, a restoration of the land. when we come together in worship. Acts 2 says it this way. Maybe you've never thought of it in this way, but on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. It was not Dorian. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. Can I tell you, when we come together and we worship and we sing, guess what? The Holy Spirit comes down. We're inviting the Holy Spirit and His power and His ability to fill our atmosphere. And then all things are possible when the Holy Spirit is here. Yeah. Amen. All things are possible. So when we lift up our voice and we sing that type of song about God that invites Him in, it's powerful. So I ask you again, what's your song? Because it makes a huge difference what your song is. There's a lot of type of songs. What's your song? Is it So Much Fun? Or Hello from Las Vegas? Is it Quality Control? Or is it Indigo? If you're from the 2000s, is it Say My Name? I Want to Know. Try Again. Maria, Maria. If you're stuck in the 90s, maybe it's Hold On. It Must Have Been Love. Poison. Vogue. For my 80s folk, maybe your playlist has Call Me. Rock With You. Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Funky Town. What is the soundtrack to your life? Look at somebody, ask them, what's the soundtrack? I'm not asking about a song you've heard. I'm talking about the song that's playing in the background of your life. Am I talking natural? Yeah, I'm talking natural. I'm talking spiritual. What is the song? What are the songs? What's the playlist of your life? Because it's this, if it's the same songs as the world, you can get the same result as the world. What are the songs that are navigating your life? What are you opening up your mouth and inviting into your life? What if the soundtrack of your life was Raise a Hallelujah? What if it was This Is How I Fight My Battles? Or Hosanna in the Highest? Or Unstoppable God? Or Let It Be Known? Or I Know Who I Am? Or Your Great Name? See, your life soundtrack makes all the difference. And if we're trying to pursue God with a lifestyle of worship, what playlist are you using to get you there? You got to be intentional. If you want to get to a place of a lifestyle of worship, because there's power in a song. What songs are in your life right now? It can set an atmosphere, set a mood. A song is like a movie. What type of movie do you want to be in? Movie about love? Movie about lust? A movie about anger? Retribution? Depression? Sadness? Or joy? Worship? Praise? Reflection? There's a song for all that. So what's on your radio? What's in your earbuds? If we talk about lifestyle, what's the song that you're singing today? What's the song of your heart? What do you get out of bed in the morning and it's rolling in your head? What do you go to bed at night? What's the song playing in the background? You bow your heads with me today. God, I thank You that You desire for us to have a lifestyle of worship. And I think a lot of us want that too. We want to have a lifestyle of worship. But maybe You need to help us today change our playlist. Maybe there's some songs that need to come out, some ways of thinking. Some stuff on our physical radio and some stuff on our spiritual radio, emotional radio that we need to take out, and other stuff we need to put in. Hey, we need to change our mixtape to reflect more of who you are. Because God, we want to go where you want us to go. We want to possess the promise that you have for our lives. And God, we want to have a lifestyle of worship. So God, help us change our playlist. God, help us sing the song that magnifies and invites you in our life. God, let us sing the song that invites godly change and invites godly growth and invites us to be more like you. God, let us sing the song and live our lives to the beat of a song, God, that invites you in. God, that's our desire. That's our desire above every other desire. We want a lifestyle of worship. Not an experience here, an experience there. And, oh, I experienced him 2 weeks ago. I really felt God's presence 3 weeks ago, or last Sunday. But God, to have a lifestyle of worship, that's our desire. So God, I thank you that you speak to us. You're the one that gives us the power. You're the one that gives us the strength to be able to change the things that we need to change. To walk the path that you've given us to walk, to be fruitful, to prosper, and to live a lifestyle of worship. And as your heads are bowed, maybe there's somebody here that says, Pastor, I just feel disconnected in my relationship with God. I feel like there's been some kind of disconnect. Maybe I got too busy for him. Maybe just it got lost in the shuffle, my relationship. I want to get it back. I want to get it strong. Again, my relationship with Jesus. Maybe you say, Pastor, I never really had relationship. I had religion. Just lift up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. If that's you, if you slipped up your hand, I want to pray with you. And I want to ask everybody to pray this prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being there. Even when I didn't know you're there, I invite you back into my life. I want to walk with you. Teach me how to have a lifestyle of worship. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for taking all my sin away, for reconnecting me with a loving Father and giving me eternal life. I accept your free gift and I want you in my life. Help me. Teach me. Walk with me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.